Welcome to Sent 315. We're here to encourage and equip Christians to engage in the adventure of sharing Jesus with those that God puts into their life. And we're so glad you're here.
We're here.
We're here.
We're here. I'm here. Sandy?
I'm here.
Okay. This could be, refresh my memory, Brianna, is this the first executive director, producer of television news that we've had on the podcast?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure.
I think so.
Matt goes back a little farther. Pretty sure?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. So, hi.
Hi.
Sandy. We don't have to talk a lot about that because we've got a special subject matter that I'm really excited about, and pretty much anybody that knows you real well is going to be excited about this one as well. My wife has all sorts of questions. but I really would like you to share a little bit. One of the things that I get a lot, and you guys might have heard it too, people, so the podcast goes everywhere, right? It goes all over the place. But the people that are in our family at Foothills, they are so excited about learning more about the person that they thought they knew.
Yeah, I get that too.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And when you're a co-host like you are, and you're here a while, you end up telling them everything.
Yeah.
So they really know you. So Sandy, if you could just talk about, and I know some of this, about the family that you grew up in, where you were at in your spiritual journey there, and then how that changed for you a little bit. So, what was life like before Jesus?
Well, thank you. I was born into a third generation family of Jehovah's Witnesses. And I, in my early 20s, started smoking cigarettes, and that is an excommunicatable offense for Jehovah's Witnesses. So I was excommunicated, which in that belief system, you don't exist. So I was, my family, my mother, my father, brothers, sisters, weren't allowed to speak to me for years.
Wow.
During that time, I became a television news producer, an executive producer, and I have always been a prolific dreamer from the time I was a child. And I was working in El Paso, Texas, and I had a dream that I was in a haunted house, and this man, one of the photographers who worked for me, I couldn't even remember his name. I knew it was four letters, but, you know, couldn't remember his name, rushed in and grabbed me and my daughter from my first marriage and whisked us out of the house seconds before the whole house crumbled down behind us.
Wow.
And I said to him, "Why did you do that? You risked your own life to save me." And he said, "I had to. I'm your husband."
And wow.
I thought that it meant he and I were going to be married, which we were. And I learned later that in my dreams, he represented the Lord. It was actually the Lord who saved me because he was a Christian. And I was a Jehovah's Witness. And one thing I can say about Jehovah's Witnesses is that they know their Bible. They spend a lot of time in the Bible. And so I knew that if we had scriptural discussions, that I could...
You could beat him up.
I could beat him. And I did. And regularly. But then he asked me
that
a question.
That must have been fun.
Yeah.
But then he asked me a question. How ugly can we get on here?
Way as ugly as you'd like.
Yeah.
That's why we're not in video.
He asked me a question. I asked him a bunch of questions he couldn't answer. He asked me a question. "What did you do with 1975? And it was like in the movies when somebody's life flashes before their eyes and there's scenes of this and this and that, and it was just crazy. Because in 1975, I was a early teen, like 13, I think. And I remember just being terrified of that year because Jehovah's Witnesses believed and spoke all the time about it being the year that God was going to come back and destroy the earth.
Oh, wow.
And only the really good people would be saved. And I knew that I was not a really good person because I had sex before I was married. When I was 2 years old, I was sexually molested. And so I heard my whole life, if you have sex and you're not married, you are not one of those good people that will survive.
Even if you're a
victim?
It was never specified.
Yeah.
But I knew that
that was in your head.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you believed.
Yeah, and lies. So I knew that I would, I didn't know when it was going to end. I just knew that 1975 was the deadline. It wasn't going to last past that. So when my mom would go to the store, I would just be in agony. Was that the last time that I'm going to see my mom?
Oh, wow.
When I would kiss my parents goodnight, am I going to go to sleep tonight and never wake up again? And I remember on December 31st, 1975, there's less than 24 hours of this year left. And so I kissed my parents goodnight. I told my brothers and sisters goodnight, knowing that it had to happen in the middle of the night. I was never going to see them again. And I woke up the next morning, and my first thought was, God forgot to come back and kill me.
Goodness.
How hard.
Intense.
And I was just so grateful to be alive that I didn't realize that something was very wrong with that prediction. So fast forward 10 years or so, and I met Gabe, and we were having the Battle of the Bibles, and I would ask him questions that he couldn't answer, and then I would answer them for him from Scripture. But then he asked me, what did you do with 1975? And all of that came rushing back. And he said, if they lied to you about that, do you think they may have lied to you about other things? Mm-hmm. And he gave me a Bible that was not corrupted with with Jehovah's Witness changes. And I started reading that Bible. And I was the executive producer for all the newscasts at the CBS affiliate in El Paso, Texas. And I was the producer for the 6 o'clock news, which meant that my newscast ended at 6:30 and I was out of work by about 7 o'clock. I had an 11-year-old daughter. I would pick her up from school, go home, feed her, get everything ready for the next day, read my Bible until 5 o'clock in the morning, and then sleep for an hour or so, get up, take her to school, and do the whole thing over again, day after day after day. And just, I had read this book my whole life, but it was not alive. And it was alive for me. Mm. And I could hardly read the parts about Jesus being crucified because I was just crying. And you know me, I'm not a weepy girl. And I was just crying so hard I couldn't see the words on the page, knowing that I did that to him. He suffered that for me. And I had a spiritual experience where there were literally demons in my room tormenting me. And he appeared and said, just keep your eyes on me. And for about 45 minutes, I battled. And as I was focusing on him and talking to him, their voices would die down. But as I would weary and start to fall asleep, they would rise back up. And after about 45 minutes, he said, it's over. You belong to me now. And they were gone.
You could have walked on water.
Powerful.
Wow.
You know,
Jesus. Wow.
There's just so much. The fact that God is so powerful, he is so real, and he loves us so much. And one of the things that I really wanted to have a conversation about is, you know, some of the things that people have questions about, but just the supernatural nature of God. He is super duper natural. It's for real. And the thing about it is, you know, we're doing this thing right now when we're recording this. We're doing a thing where it's just Juan and 100 or more churches are all joining together to ignite people to go share Jesus all over the place. And one of the things is one of the things that comes out of this book, Sent, by Heather Holloman, who's been on the show, is what do you see? And the what do you see principle is just like asking the Lord, Lord, I want to see like you see, and I want to do what you want me to do, and I want to say what you want me to say to whoever you lead me to. Like that's, I try to wake up that way every single morning, you know, anybody can. But the thing is that, so there's, you're asking to hear from God. There's a supernatural communication exchange. And the last thing that I want to do is to make Sandra Zolman one-dimensional, because obviously, you know, we've been doing this like 5 minutes or something, and she's obviously not one-dimensional. But one of the ways that you've ministered to the body of Christ is by taking a deep dive into dreams and dream interpretation. And it's one of the ways that God speaks to us. And I've done some studying on dreams from more of a natural scientific, you know, like 80% of your dreams come from what you went through during the day, or whatever. There's all that. But
random synapses firings.
Yeah.
And you watch last? Too much jalapenos or whatever, right? So, and some of that is for sure true. But another part of it is the Bible is full of God talking to us when all of the clamor of the day is gone, right? And we're just in this different state of mind and being. So
it's actually a state where your mind is off, and you're in a state where your spirit is just able to communicate with the Lord, and you're protected by the Lord and angels. If you think about it, because you're sleeping, your mind is off.
Well, and you know, it's all through the Bible. So let's talk about that for a bit, because when I don't know if you were involved with it before, but there was a, how can I forget it? John Paul, and then the guy that was underneath him,
Steve Maddox.
Yeah, that was teaching on this. Is that when you got involved with this and really studied it, or did it happen before that? Because that's a crazy dream. The whole burning down, hey, Gabe saves you dream, right?
Yeah, well, it's a gift.
Yeah, and sometimes maybe it doesn't feel like a gift.
Yeah, maybe not.
Right?
Well, it's like, I know that Matt is a musician and he has a gift, but he also has to practice his gift for his gift to be the best that it can be.
Yeah.
And dream interpretation is, dream understanding is like that. I believe that I have had many spiritual gifts, but dreams and dream interpretation being among them, my whole life before I ever knew the Lord. And I really just didn't know what to do with them, but I was fortunate when I did get saved. I was saved in a church in El Paso, Texas, a vineyard, and there was a prophet who would visit our church all the time. He was like the prophet that was assigned to our church. And it was John Paul Jackson. And before he ever did Streams Ministries, he did a 1 year, I guess you would call it like a college program called Streams of Shiloh. And it was, he would come occasionally and do lectures, but a lot of it was instruction through the mail. This was before computers even. And so I, having been someone who dreamed my whole life, I was very interested in that, and I went through that program and graduated from that. A friend of mine who went to that church was in a similar position, and she and I used to just meet because we didn't know anybody who knew about dreams and could help with understanding that. And in the world, there are two primary streams of dream interpretation. One of them is Jungian, where everything is about you, and the other one is Freudian, where everything is about sex. And the dream interpretation that John Paul Jackson developed and honed, and Streams of Shiloh eventually grew into Streams Ministries, is biblical dream interpretation. It uses the same methodology that you must use in order for dreams in the Bible to achieve the interpretation that exists in the Bible. And so we use those methods. Those methods were taught in Streams, and I self-taught as much as I could, a lot of it wrong because there wasn't information out there. But then through streams, I was able to get what I considered to be really good, solid biblical training in dream interpretation. And it helped me to guide others to understand their dreams. And it helped me to better understand my own dreams. The thing that I love about dreams is that God will communicate with people through dreams, whether they know him or not. Yeah. I know he did that with me. And
the Bible makes that super clear.
It does. And we have examples just in the world of people who, as far as I know, didn't know the Lord. Thomas Edison would regularly take naps, and he would hold steel marbles in his hand and have steel pans beside him on the floor so that when he dozed off, a marble would drop and the sound would wake him up because he was dreaming something inventive.
Yeah, and he would remember it that
and
way.
He would wow. remember it that way. And he, in his lifetime, held over 1,000 patents. Paul McCartney composed the entire melody of the song Yesterday in
a
Dream.
Oh my gosh, really?
Niels Bohr, the father of quantum mechanics, discovered the structure of the atom in a dream.
The Standard Model, yes. Yes. That's incredible.
And Frederick Banting, a Nobel Prize winner, a Nobel Prize winning pharmacologist and surgeon, came up with the idea of treating insulin, treating diabetes with insulin. And then he and his student assistant, Charles Best, worked together to isolate the compound and saved millions and millions of people with diabetes. So
wow.
These are people that don't even know the Lord,
yeah.
But he is communicating with them. And I liken God's communication to us in dreams with a parent cooking with a child. Because God could come to you in a dream and say, this is what's happening, this is what I want you to do. But he doesn't. He uses mm-hmm. imagery, and it's a puzzle, and you have to figure it out. And that, to me, is the loving kindness and personal intimacy of God. Because he wants you to dig into that dream and talk to him about it.
Yeah.
He doesn't give you the whole thing because he wants to partner with you. I could so easily make cookies by myself. But when my son Gabriel was little, having him there scooping yeah. them out and smashing them down, it built relationship with us.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I want to jump on that because Jesus would tell parables and he would translate them and say, this is the deal to his people who are in relationship with him, to the apostles, yeah. right? Because he's way more about relationship than you knowing the information,
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
I remember when I read Churchill and God. Any of you guys read that one?
Mm-mm.
No.
He dreamed that he was saving his country when he was a kid, you know? And I don't know if Churchill was a Christian or not. I'm not sure. He would have got excommunicated with all the cigars he smoked if he was a Jehovah's Witness.
Right.
But yeah, absolutely, positively, he wants relationship with us. So when we need to go to him and say, what's that all about?
Yeah.
Then it just sounds like him. It tastes like him.
And I'm glad that you mentioned Jesus' parables because his parables use the same methodology in interpreting that dream interpretation uses. And dreams are really parables of
Ooh,
our mind.
I love that.
Yeah. See, that makes it make sense.
That comes alive, doesn't it? Yeah.
I love that.
Well, and I don't know if we want to jump into this right now, but you and I share a very good friend. And I remember when I met her, and I remember when I brought her into my office, and it was amazing. In the Middle East, there are so many people having visions and dreams and getting saved. And these are Muslims. This is everybody.
I'm so glad you're about to tell this story.
It's crazy. Well, I love this story. This is a fun one. So, do you want to jump in? Should I set up the story? What do you want to do?
You're doing great.
Okay, so I have a friend, and we'll just call her B.
Yes, okay, let's call her B.
So I was the administrative pastor of the church, and I have a Messianic Jew assistant, shout out to Allison Bennett, and I get a call from the front desk, and they say, Kevin, there's some people here who need to talk to you right now. I said, okay. And they come into the office, and there is, B is there with Noor. She's there with Noor. Now, Noor may be the shortest woman I know. I don't know. I met Mother Teresa, and she might be a little bit shorter than her. But Noor comes in. They sit down in the office, and Allison is there as well. So B is a Muslim woman at that time, and Noor is this prophetic, crazy, after everything, mm-hmm. pinch you on the cheek, habibi, Middle Eastern Christian, fired up. And then there's my Jewish heritage assistant. They're all sitting in my office. And so Noor says, well, this is Benin's story. This is what just happened. So why don't you pick it up from there? And I'll jump back in if I've got more to tell about this one. But
thanks for the editing.
Oh my gosh.
Well, if I remember this correctly, B was having a dream again and again.
In the Middle East, in Iraq.
Yes, and I believe that her dad was
an imam.
An imam, yes. Mm-hmm. And she kept having this dream over and over again about this man with holes in his hands feet. And he was pouring the blood coming out over her, and instead of corrupting her, which blood would typically do in some cultures, I don't know if that is in the Muslim culture, it was cleaning her.
Mm-hmm. White.
She wanted to know who this man was that was bleeding on her and cleaning her.
So fast forward, she gets to the U.S., and Noor is told by the Lord, go talk to that woman and tell her I love her.
Yeah.
Tell her Jesus loves her. Mm-hmm. Now, she's in full burqa, everything. This is mm-hmm. obviously a Muslim woman. She goes, okay, because Noor is fearless. And she goes up and does exactly that. And B just starts crying. She goes, nobody would tell me who he was. I've met him. I've seen him in my dreams and visions. I've seen him, but nobody would tell me who he was. And she told her all about Jesus. So they end up in my office. And it was just incredible. One small part, maybe we'll edit this out, but it was so powerful for me because I got these women here and we're going to help her. And we furnished her apartment. Mm-hmm. Everybody got baptized, her kids. And then there was some tragedy in her family that is for another show. But I pull a Bible out that somebody gave me. And I said, Noor, is this a Bible for B? And she goes, Kevin, no. This is from Iran, but God will send someone for this Bible.
Hmm.
After we get B set up and everything's going and you know she's left, I get another call from the front desk. There is a woman at the front desk that needs to talk to you. She's Muslim from Iran. First one I'd ever had in the lobby.
Amazing.
And she comes back. So God's just saying, hey, I'm up to something here. And so much of it had to do with communicating with B through dreams about how much Jesus loved her.
So, that's, you know, beautiful. My dad does the TB thing in Europe, and he's been reporting to me that for the last 3 years, every month they get multiple letters from people that are viewing different programs where they're not supposed to be viewing them.
Yeah.
Because they're seeking it out because they've had dreams where they've been approached by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They almost all sound like that. He is on the move, yes, and he loves Muslim people.
Yeah, he does. And, oh my gosh. So yeah. Brianna, ever had a dream?
Yeah, actually I was thinking as you were talking.
I bet you were.
I've been to Sandy's office multiple times. And I always think to myself, man, I need to go back because I really think that the Lord speaks to me in dreams. I have very, vivid, interesting dreams. I remember a lot of them. There's a lot of weird things that happen. Like sometimes I taste in my dreams, which is really strange to me.
I've never done that.
Sometimes I feel in my dreams, like actual pain. I'll wake up with like pain of what happened. But there was a time period in my life, and I don't know if you remember, but there's a time in my life where I was like in the like culty stuff. I know you're talking, I think last time, about how much you learn about your podcast host, but I was into like culty stuff a long time ago. I would like play with Ouija boards and stuff like that and like watch ghost hunting. And I was being afflicted. I was having like sleep paralysis, which it's really terrifying to have sleep paralysis. I would feel like someone was like sitting on my chest and like choking me, and I would be like consciously awake, but my body would be paralyzed, and it would be like in this state of limbo. And I would hear things, and I would see things. I'd hear like children laughing on the swing, and very like Amityville horror, scary stuff. And I remember because of that, I developed insomnia because I didn't want to go to sleep because I was terrified. I was like, I feel like I'm going to die. So I would like start falling asleep, and then I'd jolt awake, and then I'd be like, okay, you have to stay up. And then I'd start falling asleep, and I'd hear like a ringing in my ears, and I'd jolt awake. And so I would just stay up until like 6-7 in the morning. And then I was afraid of the dark, so when the light would come out, I'd be like, okay, now I can go to bed because nothing's gonna get me. And I remember through a series of events, I don't really know exactly how it happened, but I ended up in your office and I was telling you about some dreams I'd had. And then I was like, yeah, but I have sleep paralysis, and I don't really go to sleep. And I remember, I'm pretty sure it was you, but you said, you need to go get healing for that, because I think that the Lord speaks to you in dreams, but if you're not sleeping, you're not dreaming. And it's a way for the enemy to try to attack you for dreaming. And I was like, oh.
That sounds like Sandy.
Yeah, and so I went to Karen Worms, and God bless her, and I went in her office, and she did a bunch of stuff where we went over all these things, and I had to rebuke, like, Lord, I'm sorry for agreeing with fortune cookies. Lord, I'm sorry for playing with an eight ball. Lord, I'm sorry for playing with a Ouija board. Even things where I was like, this is really dumb. Like, Lord, I'm sorry for, like, looking at that ghost show.
It's so true,
and,
though.
Yeah, I had to rebuke all of that. And then when she prayed over me, I felt this, like, release of paranoia come off of me. And I remember from that point on, I like very rarely struggle with sleep paralysis, and I've had some pretty crazy, cool, intense dreams ever since then.
You know, one thing for this, there's a couple of reasons. First, just to have you on and share you with the family, right? That's one. But the other one is, God does want to communicate with us. He does it in a variety of ways, and we need to be listening, and we don't have to be scared of it. It's your Father. You know, and so that's number one. You know, it's kind of like when we talk about 1 Peter 3:15, we talk about setting aside Christ as Lord in your life, this secret life with God, that you're right, like practicing. You're just practicing spiritual habits, and you're getting to know Him better, and you're becoming more like Him, hopefully. So that's really important for what we talk about here. But the second thing is, you go to wacky places and get people well, saved. You're sharing the gospel with them. So talk about you showing up to New Age conferences and stuff with this.
Yeah, it's been a while since I did that, but there used to be a group of us, primarily at Foothills, that would go to events. Sometimes it was like, you know, just fairs.
UCSD, right?
We went to UCSD one time for Spirit Week, and for them, Spirit Week wasn't wear the school
colors. It wasn't
dress
up in the school colors, yeah. Right?
It was 5 days of spiritual experience. So 1 week was one day was Wiccans.
And no way.
Weird.
The next day was palm readers and that kind of thing. And one of the things that they included was dream interpreters, and we were biblical dream interpreters. Well, all these other people that are very interested in spiritual things saw that we were there, and they have dreams, and they want to know what these dreams mean. So we had the longest line of anybody that week of people just waiting to get their dreams interpreted, and we did it in pairs. And I remember I was and I received this woman who was Wiccan. And one of the things that biblical dream interpreters love about interpreting dreams for pre-Christians is that they have really short, tiny little one-message dreams. Mm. Talk to somebody who knows the Lord about a dream, and an hour and a half later, they finally get to the end.
That was me.
And they're in your office.
Yeah. Yes.
But they have, all these pre-Christians have these tiny little dreams, and she said, I just keep having this dream over and over again. I'm doing different things, but I feel something filling up in my mouth, and when I open my mouth, all my teeth fall out into my hand. And so, of course, I knew exactly what this dream meant.
Because that's a pretty common dream, right?
Very mm-hmm. common dream. Now, in biblical dream interpretation, you can't say teeth always mean this, and you know, and this image always means this. You have to take it in the context of the dream. Mm. But this one was very clear, and I told her, you know, this dream is telling you that there is something in your life where you lack wisdom. And she goes, yeah, that's really true. And I know that she's a Wiccan. I know that she believes in a lot of spiritual things that are maybe not exactly the way that they are in reality. And so I asked her.
Great tact.
Yeah.
She has a way with words.
I asked her, let me ask you this. Do you believe in spirit guides? And she goes, oh, yeah, I have a spirit guide. And I said, so do I. But my spirit guide is the only spirit guide that has wisdom.
Whoa.
And he freely gives it to anyone who asks.
He does.
So all you have to do is just say, his name is Holy Spirit. And you just have to say, come, Holy Spirit, and give me wisdom. And this Wiccan is sitting there with her hands up saying,
oh my goodness.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Go ahead. We're rolling.
So I told her, I have a spirit guide as well, and his name is the Holy Spirit. He's the only spirit guide that has wisdom, but he freely gives it to anyone who asks. So this Wiccan was sitting there with us with her hands raised saying, come, Holy Spirit, give me wisdom.
Wow.
And I don't feel like now I have to take her through a Bible study or you know, any of that. It was a seed.
Yeah.
And God will honor her request.
Mm-hmm.
He will honor what she ultimately chooses to do with that request.
Yeah.
But she had an opportunity and she took it. And dream interpretation gives us opportunities to do that with people who are really interested. They want to know what their dreams mean. They want to know, why did I have this dream and what does it mean and what am I supposed to do about it? And even in the Christian community, there's all those questions associated with it because God wants you to ask him so that he can guide you through those things. And with pre-Christians, he's the same. He wants to engage them, so he makes them curious.
That's awesome.
You know, it's, we could go a long time and go into all the details and the elements of it, but are there some principles for people who are just saying, okay, what do I do with this? How do I, you know, go to God. Absolutely. Are there some basic principles that you can share or places where if somebody really is interested, like when we had Bert on here, we said, well, if you're in town, just go to the coffee bar because that's his office.
Yeah.
You can directly meet him one-on-one. I'm not sending everybody to your office. But
<Thank you.
laughs> but are there some things that you can tell Christians, okay, so this is, if you're dreaming, this are some principles or here's some resources, what would you say to them?
Well, my first and I think most important advice would be ask God questions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ask God questions. Why did I have this dream? What does this mean? What do you want me to do with it? Will you please guide me to someone or something that can help me with this? Because I ask God questions all day, every day. And it isn't because he needs me to ask that question to move in my life, I need to vocalize that question in order to recognize his answer.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so I would say ask questions. Secondly, I would say anything that you can get on dream interpretation from John Paul Jackson and from Streams Ministries is it's good, it's biblically sound, and it's a right path to help understand your dreams. I would encourage people to stay away from Google and anything
ChatGPT,
anything that would infuse the answer with Jungian or Freudian advice, and that's what you're going to get.
Or world knowledge. Cases.
Or even world knowledge, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Streams has courses that you can take in dream interpretation. One of the things I love about Streams course is that before they allow you to take the first of two intense dream interpretation courses, you have to take an intense course called How to Hear God, The Art of Hearing God. Sorry, The Art of Hearing God. And it's a 25-hour course just on knowing how God speaks and knowing the difference between, is this my own thought or is this the Lord? Because you really want to have a strong foundation in hearing God before you move on to interpreting dreams. And so they offer online courses, they offer in-person courses in some cities, and anything that you get written by John Paul Jackson is going to be really a really good resource.
Our entire staff pastors are going through a book about needless casualties, and it's about spiritual warfare, and it's John Paul Jackson.
It is. That's one of his really good books.
Yeah, we're all reading it right now because there's a whole lot of warfare going on.
Mm-hmm. Boy, is there.
Yeah.
And the thing is we don't have to be fearful. Mm-hmm. We, you know, when the Bible says that Jesus came to redeem that which was lost, that isn't just people who have fallen out of relationship with the Father because of what Adam did and what Jesus did and all that, but it's also giving us back the authority that we gave up when we rejected God. So there is a spiritual authority that we can walk in, and hearing from God is a great place to figure it out.
Yeah, and one of the things I love about Needless Casualties of War is that God is a law-abiding God.
Mm-hmm.
And
of his own laws.
Of his own laws. And though we do have authority, that authority was granted to us in specific ways and specific arenas. And one of the things that Needless Casualties of War helps you understand is how and where to use that authority that we have.
Yeah.
And the needless casualties come from not knowing and using it wrongly or using it in the wrong places.
Yeah, it's always for him, by him.
Yep. Sandy, would you just pray for the people that are listening? I just think that there's something special that could be released to them.
I would love to, thank you. Well, Father, first of all, we just say that we love you. We love how creative and kind you are. We love how imaginative you are. Mm-hmm. Lord, thank you for creating very different ways and multiple ways that you come to us and communicate with us and seek relationship with us. Father, I especially want to lift up the people that are hearing this prayer that do recognize that they have dreams from you, or that have dreams that they're curious about. Lord, they want to know. I just pray that you would release paths for them to reach that understanding so that they would know what you're trying to say to them, what you want to partner with them in, and how you want to be a part of their lives. Lord, thank you for dreams. Thank you for interpretations, and thank you for relationship. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.